I'm so excited about this time of the year that we're in right now. You know, almost every Torah portion, every time we read, speaks to me in a different way. I read them through and I think, well, how, you know, this is five books of the Bible that we're reading through all year after year in cycles. We read through it. And if you read it according to the calendar that we get, and there's several of them around, but most all of them keep you right on the same verses so that people all over the world are studying these same verses every week. They're studying them. They're reading them. They're being spoken about. But this one this year somehow hit me in a new way. I've been seeing myself entering up and getting right up to the veil. Getting right up to the veil. Now remember, the veil's rent. But we just haven't been going on in. I've been, for years and years, I've been, you know, so wonderfully blessed. And I have seen the power and the presence of God. But you know what? I feel like I'm still just at the edge. I want to enter in. I want to get in close. I want what God is. I don't want to just know about Him. I want what He is. I'm looking for it. And Father, I ask You to help me today as we minister, Lord. If you begin to manifest, help me to know how to move back and let You manifest. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 10 is where we'll begin today. Children of Israel have come out of Egypt. God led them on a direct route. I don't happen to believe it's the direct route an indirect route. I don't believe it's the route that most of your Bibles show. I really believe that God led the children of Israel around and right up to the area that isn't necessarily today known as the Red Sea. In fact, if you came right up to the end of it, of this portion, the northernmost portion of this body of water, there would be the city of Eilat today, which is right on the southernmost part of Israel. And I believe they crossed over, and when they crossed over, I don't believe they just crossed over into the Sinai Desert. I really believe they crossed into what is now the Saudi Arabian area. And I believe that Mount Sinai is in that area. If any of you have ever remember Jim Irwin was a man who was an astronaut, and he went looking for the Ark. You remember that? Well, he also joined up with some other people. I can't think of their names right now. They're well-known archaeologists and people that study the Word. But they have found sea urchin-encrusted wagon wheels right where I'm talking about, on what is kind of a land bridge underneath. That's more shallow than the rest of this body of water. And they're standing there after they've come out. I believe it took them a while to get there, but we know it took them 50 days to get from Israel over to the mount. But they're not there yet. Right now, at this point where we're talking about, they have come to the western border of the sea. And they're standing there, and the people look, and they say, "Where to now, Moses?" And when they turned around to say it, they saw the dust coming in the background, and Pharaoh and his army was coming. Aaron spoke to the children of Israel there, and he said to them, "You're going to see Yeshuot Elohim, the salvation of God. You're going to see the salvation of God. Just behold." And the 10th verse where we're going to start today says, "It came to pass as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel that they looked toward the wilderness. And behold," remember now, they're looking back where Pharaoh's coming. See, they're looking. And behold, say behold. Behold. Can you start now with your mind, with your meditation, and behold the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. It appeared right there. Now, what we don't often see is, and this, we read these things so quickly, we're so amazed at the fact that God led them across the sea on dry land. That's amazing. It's a great miracle. But the miracles are happening all the time because the cloud that had been leading them went behind them and got in between them. Got in between them. Maybe this will help you, some of you, to understand how that God isn't mad at people. He wasn't even mad at the Egyptians. The Egyptians put themselves into a place of crossing themselves with God's anointed, the people of God. You don't ever want to do that. You don't ever want to get into a place where you're crossing yourself. And I can show you this so many times in Scripture, how people short-circuit the power of God. And when they do it, it's devastating. It kills them. I don't believe God said in this, I'm just going to knock you off. I don't believe that at all. But remember, His presence is too much for men to take. So God moved the cloud behind, and He did something miraculous. From the same cloud where the children of Israel were, there was light. On the backside of that cloud, there was the same darkness of the plague of Egypt. And that darkness wasn't just the absence of light, it was a spiritual condition. Have any of you ever heard them talk about Carlsbad, and they say when you go down to Carlsbad and they turn off the light, it's like you can feel the darkness? Well, I guarantee you could feel this darkness. Now, this was the first time that we see it like this, that the children of Israel are seeing the glory. Say the glory. The glory of the Lord. I think this is so misunderstood, and we just, I don't know that we're desiring it like we should. The glory of God. They saw the glory in the cloud. The next time is only a few days later. I want to give you some instances of when the glory of God appeared. The children of Israel have now crossed over the Red Sea. They were immersed not in the water, but into the presence of God as they went through the Red Sea, because that was the presence of God that held the waters back. You know that? What did it say? He blew with His what? With His breath. You know what that word is? That word is ruach. The ruach. The Hebrew letter hey is the one that speaks of the ruach. It speaks of the breath. When Abraham came into the promised land, his name was Avram. And Avram made a lot of mistakes, didn't he? But you know, Avram was still believing God and trusting God. But God said, you know, there's just one thing more you need. You need a son. And Avram said, well, you know, I'm 99. And God said, come here, Avram. And from then on, He says, your name will be Abraham. The Spirit was put in. God blew with His breath, with His ruach. The ruach is the Spirit of God. He blew, and the people went right down into that Spirit and walked across on dry land. When Egypt essayed to do the same thing, the Spirit withdrew, and the waters came back on them. Now, the children of Israel have crossed over. What does immersion speak of?
Baptism.
Baptism, what does that speak of? Going from one...
glory to glory.
Yeah, from glory to glory. From one realm to another realm. An elevation into a different realm when we cross over. When we cross over.
Change of status.
A change in status. That's what I was looking for. I knew you had that. Yeah, I've heard you say it before. That wasn't by the Spirit, I just knew it. Amen. So the people are now in the promised land. No, they're now on the Arabian side. They haven't come to the promised land, but they're at the foot of the mount that's called Mount Sinai. And God tells them, now I want you people to stay back away from the mountain. I don't want you to let an animal graze there. In fact, set up a fence, a boundary around it, and nobody's to go in there at all. And in the 19th chapter, He tells them, this is the reason I brought you out of Egypt on wings of eagles. I brought you out. And I brought you to this place, and my plan is to make you a kingdom of priests unto Me. The whole nation. God said, that's what I'm going to do with you. And so He's got them there in this wilderness area, said, stay back a little bit. And He gives them the 10 words. We call them commandments, but really they're the 10 words. And by the way, if you're around here, you'll find out that we say the first word is what? I am. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. The second word is, thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image. Have no other God before you. The third commandment is what? Don't take God's name in vain. Right? Number four? Maybe this will help. Two and two. Yeah. Two loaves, two candles. Remember the Sabbath. Remember Shabbat. Number five? We've got a mnemonic about this. If any of you wonder what I'm doing with my hand, the mnemonic is honor your father and mother. Or that's the mnemonic. Number six? Thou shalt not murder. That's the six shooter. Right? Thou shalt not murder. Number seven? 7 rhymes with heaven. And a good marriage is heaven. And a bad marriage is not. So it's thou shalt not commit adultery. Number eight? That's right. Eight, you've got an eight looks like this, but if you turn it this way, it looks like handcuffs. Thou shalt not steal, right? Number nine. A nine like this, but if you flip it over, it's deceitful. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not lie. And number 10? Gimme, 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 thou shalt not covet. So that helps you to remember those. One God. Two, not two gods. Three, don't say, oh my God. Right? Number four, two and two, the Sabbath. Number five, honor your father and mother. Number six, I shall not kill. Number seven, no commit adultery. Number eight, thou shalt not steal. Number nine, thou shalt not bear false witness. And number ten, thou shalt not covet. Now, why do we do that? Because you know, if you go into about, I'd say 95% of Christians' minds, they couldn't repeat the ten to you. How many of you have heard people just incensed that they took the Ten Commandments out of school? Are you incensed about it? Well, it's all right to be incensed, but you should be more incensed that we've taken it out of church. Because people don't know what it is. And you know what? There's not a one of those that's bad. Paul said the law is good. It's good. It's good for us. It protects us. Every bit of it protects us. It just won't get you to heaven. Law won't get you to heaven. Only trusting in the Lord. Children of Israel are now standing beside the mountain. The ten has been given to them. They took off running when God's voice came, because on that day it started out with low clouds on the mountain, then all of a sudden the cloud began to smoke and shake, and there began to be fire like a fire of a furnace on the mountain, and then the shofar began to sound. And if you can imagine a shofar that just continually gets louder and louder and louder, and then God's voice, how many of you have ever heard the word thunderings? In Hebrew, that word thunderings is kolot. Kolot doesn't just mean thunder, it means voices. You read about those in Revelation, the voices. Kolot. The kolot of God. And some people believe that God spoke the entire Torah to them like that, just in an instant. His voice was so intense and so compressed. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it would be possible that God would be able to speak in such a way that everybody would get it all at once and hear it all at once. But anyhow, he spoke it to them, and they took off running. Remember, he just said, I'm going to make you a kingdom of priests. What did they do? They said, Moses, be our priest. We're going to go over here and be safe. Remember? Why should we die? But even with that, in the 24th chapter of Exodus, when Moses is getting ready to go back up, says, and the glory of Yahweh abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And listen to this. I don't know if you've ever caught this before. I don't think I'd ever seen it just this way. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Some translations say to the entire congregation. All of the people saw this glory. 2.5 million people, 3 million people, whatever there was out there in the wilderness, they saw the glory of God. And what was it like? It was like a devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. All the people saw it. Say that. All the people. All the people saw the glory of the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, if anybody sees the glory now, you hear a testimony, right? They're going to testify in church the next time they come if they saw the glory of the Lord, because we aren't seeing it like we should see it. I don't want to say that it should be commonplace, but I want to say this to you. It shouldn't be rare. It shouldn't be rare. We should see the glory. I believe it'd be all right to tell about it when you see it. But all the people saw it. What do you suppose they were talking about that night? I can just see them coming out of their tents, you know. Oh, nice night. Stars are bright. No. Did you see what? The glory of God? Did you see that fire? Can you imagine what they were talking about? Boy, what a God we serve. Wow. All the people saw it. But you know something happened. Moses entered into that cloud. Moses. And we put him on a high pedestal. And if you study the Jews, boy, they've really got him up there. He's number one. He's right below Yahweh. He was. But he was a man. And Moses, the man, entered into the cloud. He went right into the cloud. Aaron, put that on right now. There's a man by the name of Don Potter wrote a song that to me just speaks my heart, and I believe he was writing it about Moses. Paul Wilbur sings this song on this particular rendition, but listen to this. I'm going to sit down and listen with you.
Moses stood on a mountain. Waiting for you to pass by. Placed your hand over his face. In your presence, he wouldn't die. And all Israel saw your glory, and it shines down through. Just
That does to you, but that moves me. That's my prayer. Oh, show me your face, God. Show me your face. That's the glory of the Lord. That's not just wanting to see what he looks like. That's to know him. To see him. To look upon him. In Exodus 33:13, we have the prayer that Moses prayed that this song is about. I'd like you to repeat it with me, if you would, and make it be your prayer. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy ways, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight. And that's what happens when we begin to see him. You know what? You begin to be concerned about others. It doesn't stop with you. Consider that this nation is thy people. If you know the background on this, you know that this is after the children of Israel had made the golden calf. Moses has come down the first time. He's carrying the two tablets, carrying them in his hand. God cut the tablets out. God put his words on the tablets. And when Moses saw that the children of Israel had made the golden calf, he cast them down and broke them. God's told him now at this time, you cut out the tablets this time. You cut out the two tablets, but you bring the two blank tablets to me, and I'll put my words back on them. And when Moses goes back up, God said to him, he said, now I want you to know something. I'm going to send an angel with you, and he'll take you on into the promised land, but I'm not going to go. And Moses said, wait a second, God. You told me that I'd found grace in your sight. And now you say you're going to send an angel with me? No way, Lord, I won't go. I'll stay in the wilderness, I won't go. If you don't go with me, I won't go. And that's what this is talking about here. He's telling him, I need to know your ways, God. I need to know that I've found... Show me what it means that I found grace in your sight. Show me your ways, God. Show me your ways. I think of what Paul said in Philippians 3, the 10th verse. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Is that your prayer? That you want to know him in that intimacy? To know him so well that you can actually enter into the sufferings of the Lord that he did for you, and that you're willing to partake of the same, and that your life is nothing. It's conformable unto his death. Means nothing without him, outside of him. In the 18th verse of Exodus 33, as he's talking to God about this, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. The kavod of God, the glory of God. Exodus 34:5 says, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. This is what happened. This, when he put his hand in front of him and the Lord passed by, he proclaimed the name Yahweh. And he said it like this. If you were to listen to this, he said, Yahweh, Yahweh El, Rachum, Vahanan, Vaarek, Varav Hesed, Vaemet. And that reads something like this. The Lord passed by and said, Yahweh, Yahweh, God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. The song said David knew there was something more than just the Ark of the Covenant. He knew that the Ark of the Covenant represented the seeing of God's face. He recognized that. And David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9, Yahweh is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Yahweh is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Have you ever realized that God defined what the name Yahweh means? That's what he did. Who is Yahweh? Well, somebody says he's God. Well, no, he's known as God also. He's known as El Shaddai, but Yahweh, that means something different. Yahweh means something. He said, my name, I proclaim it. My name is merciful, grace-giving, patient, loving and faithful, and I desire all to enter in. I'm good to all. That's God. That's God. God is gracious, Yahweh. Yahweh. We have his name all the way around. The names that God showed us about his covenant of atonement for us. You can see Yahweh, our righteousness, Yahweh Tzidkenu, Yahweh Mekadesh, Yahweh Shalom, Yahweh Shema, Yahweh Rapha, Yahweh Yira, Takes me a while to read Hebrew sometimes. Yahweh Nissi and Yahweh, what is it? Rohi. Yahweh Rohi. The Lord our shepherd. If you haven't walked around them, you know, you might do this sometime. You know, Catholics pray stations. Have you ever heard about the praying of the stations of the cross? You might think about praying as you say, "Hallowed be thy name, O Lord." Think about his name is righteous, Yahweh. Hallowed be thy name, righteous. His name is God who sanctifies, God who gives us peace and shalom, God who is always present, God who is our healer, God who is our provider, God who is our banner, our victory. And God, I think this one sums them all up, God the shepherd of Israel. Oh man, show me your face, God. That's what I want to see. I don't want to just talk about it. I don't want to just be one that just proclaims the good news and doesn't enter into it. We need to enter in. It's time to enter in. It's time for us to quit playing around on the shore and get into the flow. Did you know that? Did you know there's a flow of God? There's a picture of God given in Ezekiel where the water starts to come out of the east gate of the temple. You've read about it, haven't you? It goes out a third of a mile or so and it's only ankle deep. It goes out another third of the mile and it gets up to the legs. And then out another third, it's up to the loins. But if you get in deep enough, it says it's water for swimming. And you know what happens when you get in that kind of flow? You go with the flow. Amen? You go with the flow. But you know what it said? It said there were trees on all the sides of this. And this is in a desolate place. So that the trees are for the healing of the people. The people that come in. There's life. It runs right through the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is not dead anymore. There's a day coming, people, that we need to enter in. We need to get in. Merciful God, grace-giving God, long-suffering God, God of love. We put His name up here with chesed. What a wonderful word chesed is. It's the true word. The true Hebrew word for the love of God is right there, chesed. Ahava is our love to God, and He's spoken of by Him sometimes. But this is that depth of love, sometimes called mercy, sometimes called loving-kindness. Goodness, faithfulness. But we put His name up because that's so powerful. So powerful. But God wanted all the people in it. Moses entered in and saw this. Man, it changed him. Did it change him? Somebody tell me how it changed him. He what? He glowed in the dark. In fact, he glowed in the light. It changed him. It was so bright, the people needed to have a cover over his face to look at him. Think of that. We're going to change. I've talked about it a lot, the aroma that we have, the atmosphere that we take with us. It's time for it to grow. It's time for it to grow so that when we come into this presence, we'll begin to go. And you go out and people will see you and people will be changed just by being in your presence. Say, you know, people came up to, we talked about it on Friday night at Erev Shabbat. We talked about the fact that people would come up to Charles Finney and fall on their knees before him and say, "Show me the way of salvation." They recognized the presence of God in Finney. This is in the 1800s. Could it happen today? In the 21st century? Oh, it's going to happen, people. It's going to be better than it ever was. Are you ready for it? What did we start out this year as our goal? What was our goal? Remember our goals that we mentioned? We don't make resolutions, but we said, you know, this is a new year. Let's have some goals about not being at the end of this year where we are now. Let's move on. What was it? Press in to have a focus this year that'll keep us fixed on the things of God. The Bible says that those whose heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, do not fear evil tidings. Think about that. You know, there's some people every time they get their newspaper or every time they turn on their television, they're wondering, well, I wonder what happened last night. I wonder what happened now. Another plane crash. Another volcano. Another earthquake. Another war. But you know, the Bible says, when your heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, you don't fear those evil tidings. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor to the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because he has made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, his habitation, no evil shall befall him. No plague shall come nigh him. Amen? That's us. That's us. God wanted all the people to see this. God wanted all the people to see this. So in Leviticus chapter 9, which is the parasha for this week, we start with Leviticus chapter 9, verse 1. It ended up actually yesterday, for last week would be more accurate. Ended up on Shabbat. We read about how after the inauguration of the priests, God told Aaron and his sons to take offerings, offer offerings for him, and then for the people. And down in verse 3, he tells him to make... Do I have that on there, Aaron? 9:3? Put that on there if you would. Yeah. And unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering. Everybody say, chatat. Chatat. You're not saying it right unless you spit a little bit. Chatat. Chatat is a sin offering. And a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish for a burnt offering. Some of you were here when we spoke of the olah. And I intend to speak of the other offerings. The Lord just put this on my heart. We have to go into this. This is the olah, which is the elevation offering, the burnt offering. It's the offering we still do today. You present your body, a living sacrifice to the Lord. When you come before the Lord with a sin offering, you're coming with the recognition that your sins are forgiven in Yeshua. Amen? Now, next verse. Verse 4. And also a bullock and a ram for a peace offering. Shelamim is the name of this one. Say it. Shelamim. A shelamim, a peace offering. The peace offering is the thank offering. It's thanksgiving. And so here's what we see happening, that God's giving these people first forgiveness. Then he tells them, now, once you're forgiven, consecrate yourselves to me, lift yourself, offer yourself to me, and finally, give me thanks, give me praise. Those are the three offerings. And when those three offerings are brought before God, the Bible says in the 22nd verse of Leviticus chapter 9, Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them. Lifted up his hand before him and he said, Yivareka Adonai v'yishmareka. Yair Adonai panav alecha v'kenecha. Yis Adonai panav alecha v'yasim lecha shalom. He blessed them. That means Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Yahweh lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you true shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. The Jews say there's three blessings there. I believe they're right. The first one is actual physical blessings. The second one is blessing to understand and have revelation in Torah. And the third one speaks of relationship. Relationship between you and God. I believe they're right on this. Verse 23 of Leviticus 9 says, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle. Of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. What people was this? These were the people that a few days before had run away from God. These were the same people that while Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days, they built a calf, a golden calf, in direct violation of everything God had said. These same people, God now offers up a sin offering for them. He allows them to offer themselves up to Him and to give Him thanks. And when they do, He manifests His glory unto all the people. And there came a fire out from the Lord. Oh, can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see these people gathered around now, offering themselves and giving thanksgiving to God? The glory comes and the fire comes down on the altar and begins to consume upon the altar of the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. I said this the other night. I'm not so sure that was anything they planned to do. I'm not so sure they had any control over it. Have you ever been there where all of a sudden you just fall on your face before God? You just couldn't stand up anymore? Have you had that happen to you? You need to have it happen to you. Everybody needs it. Back in the 1960s, I was working quite a lot with the Full Gospel businessmen. And I remember one night that I went to a meeting and I was standing and a prophet of the Lord was speaking. And this prophet said, "There are some of you here tonight who are bound with the spirit of fear." And I was standing there and I said, "Not me, Lord," inside. "Not me, Lord." And he said, "And you will say in your heart, not me, Lord." And all of a sudden, from my knees, or from my feet, I felt the power of God rising up on the inside of me. Just began to rise and rise. I don't know how high it got, but pretty quick, guess what? There wasn't anything left to stand on. I just fell right on my face. And this began to happen throughout a lot of the charismatic people during that time. The people would be prayed for. And then it almost became a fad. People almost began to expect it. I got to the place where people would come up to be prayed for. I'd have people hold them up so they wouldn't fall down, because they were ready to fall down and not ready to really let God deal with them. But when I came home from that meeting, I was sharing it with Henrietta, and Henrietta said, "Well, what good would that be?" And I said, "Well, I don't know how to explain it to you, but it was good. You know, there was something good that happened there." And she said, "Well, I don't get it. Doesn't make any sense to me." And I showed her how Daniel fell on his face. I showed her how Ezekiel said that his strength went out of him. And different ones talked, you know, about falling on their face. But I said, "I can't explain it." And one day, as we prayed together, I remember we were in our home and we were right at the foot of the bed. And we were kneeling there together, praying together. And we prayed for a while. And when we got up, I said, "Wow, that was some prayer meeting, wasn't it?" And she says, "I don't know, was it?" And I walk, I'm gonna use Bart if I could. She says, "You're Henrietta." She says, "I don't know, was it?" And I just went over and I said, "Oh, you know," and I just put my hand around her and I had my eyes closed, and all of a sudden I was aware she wasn't there anymore. She just dropped right out on the floor. And when I looked down at her, she's laying there on the floor, and pretty soon one eye opened up. And you could tell she didn't have any idea what had happened, but she knew she had been speaking out of turn. The Lord just put her right on her face. Well, I believe God wants us to come to the place where we're willing to fall on our face, not to make a show of it, but just to respond to His mighty power. And, you know, I believe so many times when that happens, there's nothing, no thought about it. It's just all of a sudden you're there. Said the people shouted. And I'm not so sure what the shout was, but they fell on their faces. Now, God wants people to enter into this glory. Do you believe that? How many believe God wants us to enter into the glory of God? And here's the problem with people. We always have a four-step way to get there, right? Isn't that the way we preach? You know, we have 3 points in a poem, right? And that's the way we preach. But that's not what God's looking for. He's looking for people that'll just start entering in. And I began to see that the glory of God is all through the Bible. The glory of God. What do you think Paul saw when he was on the road to Damascus? It was a glory. And I want you to know that all those men that fell down around him when Paul fell off of his animal and landed on the dirt, that wasn't anything they planned to do. They just did it because of the power of God and the anointing of God. But you see, this glory that we're talking about was in Jesus all the time. It was in his ministry. John the Baptist speaks of him in John. He says he was full of grace and glory. The first miracle that he did was in John 2:11. And you remember what he did? He took the mikvah pots that were near the house and had them filled with water. And when they filled them with water, he turned them into wine. And the Bible says about this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. What does glory mean? The presence of God. Okay, now, honestly, the presence of God is present whether you see it or not, right?
The tangible presence.
There we go. Tangible or manifested presence of God is his glory. Well, obviously, when that water turned to wine, a lot of people didn't see it clearly. They just knew the wine was good. But that was a manifestation of the presence of God. When Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, remember he told the disciples one day, he said, some of you standing here will not see death until you see the glory of God. And they went up onto this mountain. And while they're up there, this was during the time of Sukkot. You know, Sukkot is the Feast of Tabernacles. And they went up on the mountain, and while they're there, Elijah and who? Moses appeared, didn't they? They appeared to him, and the Bible says his face became bright, and his clothes were whiter than anything they'd ever seen. What were they seeing? Well, here's what the Bible says. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory. And the two men that stood with him. Jesus wanted us to have this glory. He knew he was manifesting the glory of God wherever he went. When he raised the dead, that was a manifestation of glory. When he healed the sick, that was a manifestation of glory. When he had opened blind eyes, that was a manifestation of glory. When he had cleansed a leper, a manifestation of the glory. And so he said to us, he said, the works that I do shall... You do. You. The works that I do, shall you do also. These works and greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. John 14:12. And then he prayed for us in John 17. The true Lord's Prayer. Everybody thinks they know the Lord's Prayer. Most people couldn't say this one. But we know parts of it. In John 17:5, while Jesus is praying, remember the prayer he's praying now is his prayer for us, his intercessory prayer. And it says, and now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Well, he was the presence and glory of God on the earth, and yet he's saying there's something beyond that, isn't there? But what is that? You know, for those people that say, well, Jesus never claimed to be deity. Did you know there's people that say that? If Becky were here, she would tell you there's a whole group of people that claim that Jesus is not deity. The Mormons don't believe that Jesus is true deity. But Jesus said, I had this glory with you before the world was. What's he saying? I'm deity. I'm part of God. In verse 20, he says, neither pray I for these alone, not just for the disciples that were sitting around him there at the Passover Seder, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. 21st verse says, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, and that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, say, and the glory. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. You want to be one in the Father? The glory will make you one. You want to be one with Jesus? The glory makes us one. It's the glory that does it. I want to see your face, God. Say it. I want to see your face. Let me see your face. Let me see your glory. Let me enter into the cloud with you, God. I want to see you. Show me your ways. Show me your face. I in them, verse 23, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know. That the world may know. That the world may know. What's going to make the world know? The glory. The glory. You see, we know it's by the preaching of the word. It's by the foolishness of preaching. We know that we know that we know that. And we know that has to be done. But what is it that makes them believe? Well, they hear the word and faith comes, but they see the glory in the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. They see the glory. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Another powerful statement. Jesus said that God loves you and I just as much as he loved him. Say it. God loves me.
God loves me.
Just like he loves Jesus.
Verse
24, for it says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me may be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I'm telling you, people, the day is coming. Say it's coming. Say, I'm expecting it. Are you expecting?
I'm expecting.
How many times do people walk up to a lady and say, are you expecting? No, well, I don't, but some do. Are you expecting? Well, we all better get to be expecting, huh? Let's all expect. Let's expect the glory of the Lord. Let's be pregnant with it, that expectation of the manifested presence of God, not in the church, but in us. And when we're in the church, that's in the church, right? In the church house, but we're the church when we go out. Oh, let's bring people to church that we can show them the glory of God. No, let's take the glory out of here. The service begins at that door. The service begins as you go out. Take the glory. Give it to others. What's going to happen? Habakkuk 2:14. I love this. This is one of my favorite scriptures. You know about favoritist? This is one of my favoritist. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. See, all the people saw it, but did they know it? I say, all the people saw the glory of God. I think there were more wide eyes and open mouths that day than you could count, right? Wow, the glory of God. But did they know the glory? No. But Moses entered into the cloud. Moses entered in. He went in essence, he was in that place of holiness, the Holy of Holies right there before it was ever built on earth. You remember the Bible said, he said, make everything after the pattern that I showed you in the mount. Some people believe that Moses, even as Paul said, I was caught up into the third heaven. Some people believe that that must have been what went on with Moses that day. He entered in so deeply. I have friends that tell me I get in so deep I'm not sure I'm going to get back out. I want to be there. I expect that. I expect it to happen right in front of you sometime, that we're all just going to just go right into the presence of God. And I mean to tell you, it may be the day of the rapture, or we may come back out and serve some more after that. You know, I don't know. But I'm looking for it. It seems to me that we've got to see more of this to see the things that God said were going to happen on the earth in the latter days. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge. That word is yada. Knowledge, the yada. What does that mean? Let me give you a use of it. And Adam yada Eve, and she bare Cain. He knew her. How did he know her? Intimately. Intimately. You say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with God. Oh, doesn't it? Of course it does. In fact, there is a depth beyond sexual depth that is more intimate That's why the bride of Christ. That's why, that's what we're known as, isn't it? The bride. And we'll know Him, Yada, Him, as we are, Yada. We'll know Him as we're known. The glory of the Lord is going to be manifested. The knowledge, not just the glory, but the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That means a bunch of believers are going to be carrying this glory everywhere. Don't you see? Not going to be on a mountain. It's not going to be just a mountain shining. It's not going to be waters separating. It's going to be us going out and doing the things that Jesus said, the works that He said, and greater works than these shall you do. How many of you are seeing Isaiah 60 in verse 1? Do you know that? How many of you could sing that for me? You know that? Arise, shine, for the light is come. Arise, shine, for the light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. That's what it says here. Arise. Well, you see, an expectant person is ready to get up. You remember the five wise virgins? What did they do when they heard the shout? They arose. They trimmed their lamps and off they went. They were ready to go, weren't they? Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory, say the glory.
Glory.
The manifested presence of God, the manifested presence of Yahweh is risen upon the church. I believe this is not just prophetic, but I believe it's now. I believe it's upon those that will receive it. I believe it's upon me right now. I believe it's upon you. I believe it's upon those who, with expectancy, fervency of desire, are waiting for. I believe it's for now. Verse 2 says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. How many of you have seen a little darkness around? It's everywhere. This is the deepest darkness that our nation probably has ever been in right now. The deepest darkness. Why? Why would you say that, Pastor? Somebody tell me what makes it deeper today than it would have been, say, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. That's the problem, isn't it? The people now are looking to stimulus plans to save us. We're looking to health plans to heal us. They can't do it. They never could do it. When the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, people fell on their knees. There was a revival of sorts during that time. It's dark now because people are looking to men, the arm of the flesh. That can't save us. He says there's darkness covering the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. Raise your hand and say, that means me. That means me. And that His glory shall be seen upon thee. That means you and me. The glory shall be seen upon us. This is a promise. Listen, here's how I receive things from the Word of God. I find a promise and I begin to confess it. I begin to believe it. I take it as my own. I watch my words so that I don't refute what God said. I don't lie against the truth. That's what James told us. So today we've just made a confession here out of the Word of God. His glory shall be seen upon me. His glory shall be seen upon me. Is that a promise you can count on? Is it one you want to begin to confess? You want to take it as your own? Listen, somebody said, I don't like that name it and claim it stuff. Well, this is exactly what this is. I've got to tell you, it's naming it because the Word of God says it's yours. And it's laying hold on it and claiming it because the Word of God says it's yours. Listen, there's no presumption in this. It's what God said. Pastor Terry didn't say it. Kenneth Hagin didn't say it. Jesus said it. God said it. Listen to what's going to happen when the glory gets seen. We just read about it a little bit ago. The glory shall be seen upon thee, and that's the same glory we're talking about back in John 17:22. He says, the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one even as we're one, and that the world may know. Remember? Listen to what 60 verse 3 says, and the Gentiles shall come unto the light. Remember, there's darkness in the world. And the Gentiles, who's the Gentiles? Well, I want to just tell you today, you don't have to call yourself a Gentile anymore. You may be a Gentile by birth. You may have been a nation. You may be part of the dispersed of Israel and not know it. But you don't have to call yourself Goyim. Because the Gentiles they're speaking about here are the godless. They're the ones without God. They're the pagans. And what goes with that is confusion. Doesn't fit me. Does it fit you?
No.
So we're not Gentiles anymore. We're grafted in. The Gentiles are going to come to your light. And who else? What did we talk about nations today? There's also the heads of these nations, the kings, to the brightness of thy rising. Well, I'm just little old me. God put me way up here on the backside of the desert in Grand County. That's what Henrietta used to say. Way up here in Grand County in the backside of the desert. What can we do? And yet God set us here on a mountain, and a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. I believe, people, that we are the people, along with the whole church of the living God, that are going to see this brightness come unto us. I'm not saying that we're above the rest of the churches just because we're higher in elevation. But I will tell you this. We're part of that same church, whether it's big or small, that's going to see the mighty glory of God. You believe that? Gentiles are going to come. If I could tell you the number of visions that people have relayed to me and the number that I have had and the dreams that I have had about this place bursting at the seams. I've had them over and over again, and people have seen it. People have seen the traffic so much that people couldn't get in. And traffic couldn't get away. Why would that be? Well, I'm a great preacher. Not. God gave me a gift to teach the Word of God. But it's the glory that's going to do it. It's the glory that's going to do it. And I believe the reason I teach is to teach those who are going to be responsible for pastoring those that come in. Because guess what? Every time I have a dream of this great power, we're still not ready for it. We're still not quite ready for it. And the people are coming. And one of the worst ones I had where people were coming and we were trying to get a record of them and get their names and to be able to help them. And all we had for them to write their name with was a crayon. We weren't ready. And people weren't ready. But when we're ready, people, the people will come to us. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. The Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Nations. Y'all know Psalm 2? Y'all remember the Psalm 2? Psalm 2 is a great psalm. It's the psalm about the nations, and the nations laughing and jeering and chiding God. But it says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. But then he makes a promise to us, his believers, through the Messiah. He says, ask of me. Ask of me. Psalm 2 verse 8. Ask of me. Are you willing to do this? Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Are you willing to do that? Do you believe God wants us in the mission field? Do you believe God wants us here ministering to the lost and ministering to those that are coming in? What's going to bring them? Our brightness, our light. There used to be a black minister. I can't remember his name. He used to minister around Full Gospel Businessmen, came up and ministered for us once at the El Monte, when we had meetings over there. And I remember him saying, when the church really catches fire, the world is going to come and watch us burn. And I believe that's right, you know. That's what we want, because we'll be like the burning bush that's burning but's never consumed. Amen? Offered up to the Lord. Here's the Here's what you need to start doing. Verse 4. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far. North, give up! To the south, hold not back. And to the east and the west, bring forth my sons and my daughters. Bring them forth. Shout to the north. God's bringing them forth. Says, they shall come. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Praise God. Praise God. Debbie shared with us the other night how, as they were keeping Shabbat and praying, her son called her, who had been away from God, didn't want to talk to her, didn't want to hear from her. We'll have her give this testimony sometime. Didn't want anything to do, but he'd heard they'd been going to these meetings, and he called her up on Saturday. Is that right? Called her on Friday night? Called her up yet Friday night and said, what have you guys been doing? And he had been at a party drinking. And all of a sudden he couldn't drink anymore and he had to begin to talk about Jesus and begin to tell the people at that party about the Lord. And the Lord has turned him around. Now that's one of the sons. We've all got testimony of our sons, but you know there's sons out there that aren't your blood sons. They're coming too, and your daughters coming. God's sons and daughters are coming. Lift up your eyes. What did Jesus say about the harvest? Lift up your eyes, for the harvest is already white. The fields are already ripe. It's already time. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says this to us. It says, but we, with an open face. It was talking about Moses. Moses came down off the mountain. He had to wear a veil. But listen, what we get to do today, get to take the veil off. Get the veil taken off. As we're looking for it and believing for it, we can take the veil off. Bart, you know, you have a ministry right there where you work. There's a bunch of guys see you every day. They know you. They've known Bart for a long time. And I'll tell you what, they're going to start seeing new Bart. A glowing Bart. I believe that. I really do. I believe it. It's time, you know, that we start thinking about ministry the way it's supposed to be. It's out in the fields. Everybody doesn't have to quit the work that they do. That work is a way of producing. But we're all ministers. Powerful. It's powerful. Wherever you go, people see it. And the glow is going to get brighter and brighter. Listen to what it says. It says, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now this is where I feel like I've been for quite a while. Seeing it in its reflection, you know, and I'm getting into the edge of it. And listen, I don't want to try to say that, you know, anybody else is way beyond this, because I think this is where the church is today for the most part. But there are a few that seem to get into it deeper than others. They've learned that secret, and that secret is you got to press in. You've got to let God be God. I'm going to learn more about it. I know that, but it says, as in a glass we've been seeing the glory of the Lord, but we're changed. While we look at that, we're changed. And what are we changed to? We're changed into the same image. How many of you know that's your destiny? That's what the Bible says. For whom he did foreknow, them he did also predestinate to become conformed to the image of his Son. So we're being changed. It doesn't happen fast enough, does it? It's too slow. But we're being changed into the same image from what?
Glory, glory.
Glory to glory to glory. And we're having a continual rising up as we offer ourselves to the Lord, as we confess that our sins are forgiven, and as we give Him thanks. We're entering into this. Brothers and sisters, it's time to behold His glory. It's time to yield to His glory. It's time to enter in to the glory of God. Enter into the Holy of Holies. I enter the Holy of Holies. I enter by the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you only. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. Sing it with me. I worship you. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. For your name is holy, holy, Lord. Oh, I'm going to enter into your holy place, Lord, the holiest of all. And Father, today, as we've made confession of our faith in this place, I pray, Father, that you will cause every one of us to be conscious, not just as we sit here of your will, but Lord, as we leave this place, as we go out of this place, as we walk out into the world, let's begin to practice that presence, to begin to allow that presence to work in our lives, to be aware of it. The first person you meet when you walk out of here that hasn't been in this place, be aware of the fact that you've been in the presence of God. From glory to glory, He's changing you. From glory to glory, He's bringing us in. Deeper and deeper and deeper. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Yeshua. Stand with me and receive the blessing today. Ivareka Adonai Vayishmareka. Yair Adonai Panavaleka Vikaneka. Yisa Adonai Panavaleka. V'yasem Lecha Shalom. And now Yahweh bless you. Keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yahweh lift up the light of His counsel upon you and give you shalom. In the name of Yeshua. Amen.